Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM, FM HD1, Galveston 89.5 FM, and Huntsville 91.9 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. During this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1140, I will air the latest electronic intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in occupied Palestine and Lebanon. I will then air the remarks of Senator Bernie Sanders making a case on the Senate floor to block the sale of weapons to Israel. And during the third segment, I will air the speech of Ambassador Majid Bamia, Deputy Permanent Observer of Palestine to the United Nations, after the U.S. used its veto power against a Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant on November 21, 2024, against apartheid Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and its former Defense Minister Gallant for the war crimes they committed in the Gaza Strip. Despite that, the catastrophic situation in the Gaza Strip continues to worsen every second with the ongoing Israeli genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians, funded and supported by several Western countries, but mainly the United States. Let's listen to the latest electronic intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon over the past few days, summarized by Noura Barros-Friedman.
This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Noura Barros-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 411 of Israel's genocide in Gaza as the war on Lebanon expands. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. Israel's campaigns of systematic slaughter, destruction, and starvation in North Gaza is now in its seventh week, while airstrikes and massacres continue across all areas of the Gaza Strip. This video footage, filmed on Monday by Philippa Greer, a top legal official at the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, shows some of the extent of Israel's genocide and carnage in North Gaza. Greer states, quote, "Carts left behind loaded with belongings against the wreckage. The items that carry memories are long under the rubble. Horrific stories from northern Gaza of the sick and injured, the herding of men on their knees, considered lucky if they were wearing underwear when forced to strip and put on white PPE. Their fate cut off from the world. Little boys walking down through the checkpoint south with their hands up, marching forward. A woman sitting alone, defeated with her possessions, submitting to the exhaustion. People forced away from bombardment and siege, arriving to more bombardment and siege. Another chapter of their painful journey begins, forced to flee towards civilians who are running away from naval gunfire. A little boy telling us that someone has been killed on the sand, forced toward no safety, no shelter, to hungry people running down sandy roads with empty pots, to the slow violence exposed through the stories of miscarriages and malnourished amputees unable to heal on bread alone. A series of airstrikes over the last week in Beit Lahia in North Gaza has killed hundreds of Palestinians as Israel bombed entire residential blocks and leveled multi-story apartment buildings. The Gaza government media office stated on November 17th that at least four separate massacres were carried out by Israeli soldiers, killing more than 70 Palestinians from six families in Beit Lahia. On Monday, November 18th, Israelis raided a house near the Kamal Adwan Hospital in the city, killing at least 17 people. The hospital, which has been under relentless Israeli attacks since early October, was bombed again on Tuesday. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza stated that Israeli forces specifically targeted the hospital administration offices, quote, directly and without any reason, as the occupation opened heavy fire toward the hospital director's office, and the occupation also targeted the families of the medical staff at Kamal Adwan Hospital. Two doctors in the hospital received their families completely exterminated. The occupation killed their wives and children in a crime that shames humanity. That attack on Kamel Adwan Hospital followed the targeting and destruction of the Al-Najjar Hospital in Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip, the health ministry added. Israeli forces reportedly sent in, quote, robots carrying tons of explosives and destroyed the only government hospital in the Rafah governorate. Quote, this hospital provided health and medical services to 300,000 people and provided health services during the genocide to 1.5 million displaced people and citizens before the invasion of Rafah. Also in Rafah this week, Israeli forces destroyed and set fire to the Badr Mosque. According to the Gaza government media office, 815 mosques have been completely destroyed by the Israelis. 151 mosques have been heavily damaged, and 3 churches have been destroyed. In central Gaza, Israel bombed residential buildings in Nuseirat and Burej refugee camps this week, bombing homes and killing dozens of people. In Gaza City, Israel bombed homes and schools that had been used as shelters for displaced families. 2 separate attacks on Gaza City schools took place this past week. Journalist Hossam Shabbat documented the aftermath of an Israeli attack on the Salah ad-Din school, which incinerated people's belongings. Shabbat also documented the attacks on the Abu Asi school a few days later, saying that, quote, no day passes without a massacre or an attack. In this area, we saw severed heads and bodies torn apart, their remains unidentifiable. Early this morning, Hossam Shabbat was wounded in an Israeli airstrike in northern Gaza. He posted on Twitter or X, quote, after receiving news of a nearby bombing, I drove my car to offer assistance. When I arrived at the house full of terrified people, I heard their desperate screams from the second floor asking for help. The moment I entered, the house was bombed again, and the remains of the wounded were scattered around me. The rubble fell on me and my colleagues. One of the civil defense crews was killed, and while my colleague, photographer Mohammed Muhanna, and I were injured, many others did not survive. Just a few hours ago, Hossam Shabbat stated that after a difficult night, he put his press vest back on again and returned to work. He said, quote, we cannot sit back and relax while our people are being annihilated. In recent days, this shield has become like my shirt that I cannot take off. Euromed Human Rights Monitor issued a collection of eyewitness testimonies of field executions by the Israeli army in North Gaza. The group's field team documented the killing of a 58-year-old man and his 21-year-old son, shot inside their home in Beit Lahia in front of their family last week. A resident of Beit Lahia gave the following eyewitness testimony. On Wednesday, November 13th, quote, Israeli occupation forces began advancing into the area where we were sheltering. We stayed trapped in the house, and less than 2 hours later, the forces blew open the door and stormed the building. I stayed upstairs with my family while my sister, Haifa, her husband, Khaled, and their children remained on the ground floor. We heard gunfire but were too afraid to look and stayed huddled together in a single room upstairs. Within minutes, the soldiers entered and ordered us to evacuate quickly toward the eastern area near Beit Lahia Stadium and Abu Tamam School. The eyewitness continued, when we descended to the ground floor, I found my brother-in-law Khaled laying dead with 2 gunshots to his abdomen, blood streaming from him. His eldest son Ibrahim had been shot in the head. I stood in shock for moments before a soldier threatened me to move or be shot. We were about 26 people in total. My sister Haifa was collapsed over her husband and son, begging to say goodbye to them, but the 12 soldiers present refused. We tried to pull her away as she kept saying, they executed them in front of me. We rushed out of the house as a quadcopter drone hovered above us, with approximately 15 soldiers stationed around the house. My sister kept repeating, they executed them in front of me. On our way out, my sister recounted that as soon as the soldiers blew open the door and stormed in, they immediately shot her husband and son while they stood at the side of the room. They killed them without moving a muscle. The wife of the victim said, quote, they ordered us to leave quickly. I tried to pull my husband and son, but they refused to let anyone near them, threatening us with guns to leave. This happened in front of the small children, 4 boys and 4 girls, who witnessed their father and brother executed before their eyes. Meanwhile, Euromed Human Rights Monitor reported that Israel has once again carried out a flower massacre in Gaza City. On November 13th, Israeli forces killed dozens of Palestinians who gathered to collect humanitarian aid northwest of Gaza City after approximately 50 days of Israel's complete prevention of all food, water, and medical aid to northern Gaza areas. Initial reports indicate that there were around 200 people gathered in the area at the time of the attack, 70 of whom were killed and injured. According to Euromed, quote, Israeli army forces opened fire on dozens of Palestinian civilians waiting for aid trucks on the sea road northwest of Gaza City on November 13th at about 10 a.m. The Israeli forces killed and injured dozens of them when they attempted to seek refuge inside a nearby house and then bombed the building, destroying it. Many more individuals are now missing and presumably trapped beneath the debris. According to an eyewitness, the Israeli army targeted a group of civilians who had been enduring weeks of famine as a result of the occupation army blocking the entry of food and aid supplies into Gaza City and North Gaza. When they went to get flour, the army opened fire on them with shells and bullets, forcing them to take cover in a two-story residential house nearby. As soon as they reached the building, the Israeli army bombed it. Screams from those still inside the targeted house were heard, but the victims' cries for help could not be answered as the area was inaccessible to ambulance and civil defense personnel. The United Nations reported on Monday that because of, quote, critical shortages of flour, all eight UN-supported bakeries in Deir el-Balah and Khan Yunis have been operating at diminished capacity for weeks. Four bakeries in central Gaza have already shut down. The remaining four will be forced to close within days without additional supplies. In related news, Gaza's Interior Ministry launched an operation to intervene against organized gangs inside Gaza who have been stealing food and looting humanitarian aid trucks. These gangs, who are longtime political rivals of the Hamas political party and its leadership, collaborate with and are protected by the Israeli army, which effectively allows and encourages the aid to be looted. On Monday, Gaza police this week killed at least 20 members of one of these gangs, 2 days after approximately 100 aid trucks were hijacked and looted after crossing into South Gaza. According to Dropsite News, quote, the trickle of goods that are allowed in are being increasingly targeted by armed criminal groups who either force truck convoys to pay exorbitant extortion fees or simply rob the aid. Much of this is facilitated by the Israeli military, who have systematically targeted Palestinian security forces charged with protecting the convoys and then have allowed armed gunmen to attack aid convoys in areas under its control. Bassem Naim, a senior member of the Gaza government's political bureau, said, quote, these are groups of men from specific clans or families, mostly criminals who formed gangs to steal the humanitarian aid, either by taking armed control of trucks or imposing a fee, thousands of dollars for each truck. The stolen goods were sold again on the black market at very high prices. Usually the gangs operate meters away from the Israeli army, carrying different types of weapons and have all the communication equipment. Over the last 13 months of this genocide, Israel has routinely hunted, targeted, and killed members of the Gaza police and security forces who were providing protection for and coordinating the movements of the aid trucks to distribution warehouses. The Washington Post obtained an internal UN memo that stated that the gangs, quote, may be benefiting from a passive, if not active, benevolence or protection from the Israeli army. One gang leader, the memo said, established a military-like compound in an area restricted, controlled, and patrolled by the IDF. A journalist was killed in North Gaza this week. According to the Palestinian Wafa news agency, Mohammed Saleh al-Sharif was targeted and shot by an Israeli quadcopter drone in Jabalia refugee camp on November 16th. Wafa's sources reported that, quote, al-Sharif, who had recently been forced to evacuate his home in Tal al-Zatar area east of East Jabalia due to the ongoing Israeli bombardment, had sought refuge with a relative in nearby Beit Lahia. A few days later, Al-Sharif and his cousin returned to their home to assess the damage, but as they approached, an Israeli drone targeted them. His cousin was killed instantly, and Al-Sharif was left wounded, bleeding for more than 2 hours before succumbing to his injuries. Wafa noted that Israeli forces have prevented civil defense teams and ambulance services from operating in North Gaza for nearly 30 days. The family of Fadi Al-Wahidi, a cameraman for Al Jazeera who was shot in the neck by an Israeli soldier in early October, has announced that they have begun a hunger strike to demand that Fadi be granted a permit for him to travel for critical medical treatment. Fadi has been in a coma for more than a month. Fadi's mother, who is reportedly struggling with cancer, is also joining the hunger strike. Nearly 190 journalists have been killed by Israel in Gaza since October 2023. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of this one by Raja Salah about siblings Najah and Luai, both farmers from Beit Lahia, who have established small but abundant plots of land after being forcibly displaced by Israel four times since October 2023. Raja writes, quote, "Before Israel's genocidal aggression started, the siblings farmed 55,000 square meters of land, divided mostly into a commercial strawberry operation and cucumbers, but which also produced potatoes, onions, and leafy vegetables. The love for greenery is ingrained in the siblings' blood," Luai said, "as it is for many other residents of Beit Lahia." So it was an easy decision for Najah and Luai to begin to cultivate the land around their shelter, despite the many challenges and the relentless Israeli attacks that have claimed the lives of others who tried the same. Using seeds they'd brought with them from their own land, Najah and Luai planted radishes, wild garlic, Swiss chard, molokhia, beans, tomatoes, basil, mint, and thyme. Najah likes to recite a prayer whenever she lays down a seed, she said, asking God to feed us and the birds. "Here I am today eating and feeding those around me from my plants because the markets are empty due to the closure of the crossings," Najah said. "They are fully aware of the destruction that has been wrought across Gaza, and that has been wrought on their own land in Beit Lahia, where they know from the few neighbors who have clung to life there that their land has been razed. But," Najah said, "they refuse to abandon their connection to the land. When I sit in front of my plants, I feel a renewal of the spirit. I teach my children that life continues despite all the challenges we face." That's from Cultivating Hope in a Sea of Desolation by Raja Salah on electronicintifada.net. In the occupied West Bank this week, Israeli settlers attacked Palestinians in a Bedouin community near Douma, forcing 16 people, including 9 children, to be displaced after threatening to burn them alive, according to the UN. Dozens of Israeli settlers invaded the village of Beit Furik in the northern West Bank over the weekend. According to reports, the settlers burned homes and cars while Israeli soldiers blocked the roads and surrounded the village, standing by to protect the violent settlers. A resident of the village told Al Jazeera, quote, "They did not leave anything, the electricity pole and all our belongings, the sofas, the water tank, they did not leave a thing." A days-long Israeli raid into the city of Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp beginning on Monday has injured 9 Palestinians and caused significant damage to the city's infrastructure. According to the Wafa news agency, Israel used live ammunition and armed drones to shoot and injure people, while the Palestine Red Crescent Society reported that one of their medical teams was used as human shields by Israeli forces, which detained the team inside a home. Turning northwards toward Lebanon, the UN's Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs reported that an Israeli airstrike hit central Beirut on Monday, following, quote, "multiple strikes the previous day on the same area without prior warning, triggering new waves of displacement. Residents and displaced people who had sought refuge in the area were forced to flee once again." According to national authorities, at least 5 people were killed and dozens injured in the November 18th strike. Eastern and southern parts of Lebanon continue to be targeted, as well as Beirut's southern suburbs, resulting in more casualties and extensive damage to civilian infrastructure, the UN added. The Israeli airstrikes on Monday followed days of attacks on Beirut and villages in the south of Lebanon. On November 15th, Israel targeted the Civil Defense Center in Baalbek, killing at least a dozen paramedics and medical personnel, and launched airstrikes against the Beirut suburb of Goberi. At least 29 people were killed in Israeli attacks across Lebanon on Saturday alone, according to the health ministry. On Sunday, Israel bombed areas of Beirut, including a strike on the commercial district in Mar Elias, which killed at least 2 and wounded more than 20 others. Hezbollah's spokesman Mohammed Afif was targeted and assassinated in Beirut on Sunday as well. According to a correspondent for the Al-Mayadeen news channel, the Israeli strike killed at least 5 people. Also on Sunday, Israel attacked the ancient city of Tyre, or Sur, killing at least 11 people and wounding nearly 50. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared that even if there were a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hezbollah, Israel would still continue to bomb Lebanon, further rendering the word ceasefire utterly meaningless. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share videos of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's widening campaign of destruction. A community barber in the north of Gaza offered free haircuts to the local children in Al Shati, or Beach, refugee camp this week. And young musicians in Gaza who name themselves the Freedom Band played a classic Palestinian song together. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.
You're listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont introduced three resolutions to the Senate to block the sale of weapons to Israel. To make his case, he delivered a speech on the Senate floor on November 20, 2024, before the Senate voted on the three resolutions. Although the resolutions failed to pass, a growing number of senators voted in favor of them. 19 Democratic senators voted to block the sale of weapons to Israel. Let's listen to Senator Sanders' speech on the Senate floor, making a case to stop the sale of weapons to Israel and the horrific situation in Gaza.
Today, we will be voting on three joint resolutions of disapproval, or JRDs, to block the sale of certain offensive weapons to Israel. These resolutions are SJ Res 111, to block the sale of 120-millimeter tank rounds, SJ Res 113, to block the sale of 120-millimeter high-explosive mortar rounds, and SJ 115, to block the sale of JDMs, the guidance kits attached to many of the bombs dropped in Gaza. Madam President, I would note to my colleagues that these resolutions are strongly supported by more than 100 civil society groups, including pro-Israel groups like J Street, some of the largest labor unions in this country, including the SEIU, the United Auto Workers, and the United Electrical Workers, humanitarian groups like Amnesty International and Doctors of the World, and religious groups like the United Methodist Church, the Friends Committee, and many, many other organizations. And Madam President, I would ask unanimous consent to enter into the record the list of these supporting organizations.
Without objection.
Madam President, I would also point out that poll after poll shows that a strong majority of the American people oppose sending more weapons and military aid to fund Netanyahu's war machine. And I would also mention, interestingly enough, that according to a poll commissioned by J Street, this is a pro-Israel organization, 62% of Jewish Americans support withholding weapons shipments to Israel until Netanyahu agrees to an immediate ceasefire. Madam President, these resolutions are aimed at offensive weapons that have been used to devastating effect against civilians in Gaza and Lebanon. They would not affect any of the systems Israel uses to defend itself from incoming attacks. Madam President, from a legal perspective, these resolutions are simple, straightforward, and not complicated. Bottom line, the United States government must obey the law, not a very radical idea. But unfortunately, that is not the case now. And every member of the Senate who believes in the rule of law, that our government should obey the law, should vote for these resolutions. The Foreign Assistance Act and the Arms Export Control Act are very clear. The United States cannot provide weapons to countries that violate internationally recognized human rights or block U.S. humanitarian aid. Let me repeat that, because that is the essence of this entire debate, not complicated. The United States government cannot provide weapons to countries that violate internationally recognized human rights or block U.S. humanitarian aid. That is not my opinion. That is what the law says. Madam President, according to the United Nations, according to much of the international community, according to virtually every humanitarian organization on the ground in Gaza, Israel is clearly in violation of these laws. Under these circumstances, it is illegal for the United States government to provide Israel with more offensive weapons. These joint resolutions of disapproval are Congress's tool to enforce the law, and that is exactly what we must do. Madam President, it has been more than 13 months since the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, an attack which killed 1,200 innocent people and took 250 hostages, including Americans. As I have said many, many times, Israel had the absolute right to respond to that horrific Hamas attack as any other country would. I don't think anybody here in the United States Senate disagrees with that. But Prime Minister Netanyahu's extremist government has not simply waged war against Hamas. It has waged an all-out war against the Palestinian people. Madam President, within Gaza's population of just 2.2 million people, and I want people to conceptualize that, that's about the size of New Mexico, 2.2 million people, more than 43,000 Palestinians have been killed and more than 103,000 injured, a population of about the size of New Mexico. 60% of those who have been killed and injured are women, children, or elderly people. According to satellite imagery, two-thirds of all structures in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed. Two-thirds of all structures, think about that. Two-thirds of all structures have been damaged or destroyed. That includes 87% of the housing, 84% of health facilities, 84% of health facilities, and 70% of sanitation plants. Right now, there is raw sewage running through the streets of Gaza, and it is very difficult for the people there to obtain clean drinking water. Madam President, every one of Gaza's 12 universities has been bombed. They got 12 universities, every single one of them has been bombed, as have many hundreds of schools. For 13 months, there has been no electricity in Gaza. Madam President, during the last year, millions of desperately poor people in Gaza have been repeatedly driven